The predominant topic is really one of holiness. The starting point is, or are the korbanot. The korbanot do not take up the entire book, but they is certainly the beginning. And just as far as following, if one could speak of some type of a sequence. So we have a completed Mishkan, so now the question is, what do you do with that Mishkan? So that's really where the korbanot begin. Vayikra el Moshe, first source, Vaydaber Hashem elav me'o amoed lemor. So again, we have our completed Mishkan, now God calls out to Moshe. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem, adam ki akriv mikem, korban laHashem. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, and let's just start paying attention to some phraseology here. First of all, it uses the word Adam. There were certainly other words that you could have used to indicate people, Ish. Whenever you have Adam, we have suspicions about, does it lead us back in any way? Ki akriv mikem. The mikem here is very interesting. Ki akriv mikem, when you bring from, almost from within you, korban laHashem, you bring an offering to God. Min habehema, min habakaru, min hatzon, takrivu et korbanchem. So it's telling you that when you bring the offerings, here are the species that the offerings should be made from. Let's take a look at the Sforno in source number 2. Adam ki akriv mikem, ki akriv me'atzmechem. So he's noticing that the phrase of mikem, from you, from within you, from within the person, the human being, ki akriv me'atzmechem bevidui dvorim v'hachna'a, that this part of the korban, which is coming from the person, from inside, comes by virtue of the vidui. The vidui is the person's confession, vidui dvarim, when he articulates. The hachna'a, where the person, the individual, how would you translate hachna'a? To submit. Well, we have machloket, humility, or to submit. Vachna'a al derech, and this is connected, he writes, v'neshama parim svatenu. Now, that verse itself, that we could fulfill the offerings that we need to bring based upon our words in Hosea, this has been used, it could actually be the meaning itself, but this has been used as the understanding that in the generations when we no longer have a Beit HaMikdash, we can still accomplish what the Korbanot set out to accomplish by virtue of verbalizing and having this religious experience. Rina, can you help? When you can have the religious experience of the Korban even without offering the animal. But if you notice, what the Sforno was focusing on is the mikem, which means I could have said that when it says that adum ki akriv mikem korban laHashem, when a person wants to give an offering from mikem, from within you, it means from within his bank account, from within his within his flock. Over here, the mikem, it's going back to the individual, and what he's focusing on is that really the main part of the korban is not the offering of the animal. It's not that God is sitting in heaven waiting, you know, for donations so that there could be like this big barbecue or whatever. I mean, the whole perhaps pagan aspects of sacrifices is something which the Sforno is very clearly trying to separate from. And he's saying that the main aspect of the korban is the religious experience and, for that matter, the shift, which will take place within the individual. Now, anybody who's read the Ramban in the beginning of Vayikra will recognize over here that what the Sforno is writing really echoes the Ramban. And again, the Ramban tries to explain korbanot, but the main korban that he focuses on is the chatat, where he talks about really two levels which take place. One is the transference between the human being and the animal, and two will be the catharsis that will take place, and ultimately what you're dealing with, as far as the Ramban is concerned, some type of a therapy. The therapy is rehabilitation of the human being who has become the sinner in order to be improved. So over here, you hear the Sforno saying something very similar by saying the main thing over here is the Vidoy Devarim. The main thing is the Achna'a. The main thing is the human experience, which will take place over here. And for that matter, I can then separate the korban from actually the dead animal, and therefore bring this verse in the Shema Parim Sfatenu, that we can accomplish the same thing as the offering based upon our religious experiences, even if it's independent. And what is really the offering to God? Ruach Nishbara. What is really the Zivkei Elokim? What is really offering? The Ruach Nishbara, the contrite spirit. The individual who's able to be broken and contrite, again, as opposed to sin, which is haughtiness and so on, especially with Pesach coming, where the Gemara makes this identification between the Yetzer Hara and the Chametz, that we really want to serve God, but what can we do? It's the Sa'or Sheva Isa. It's this being puffed up, as it were, which causes our sins to take place. Ki'en chafetz b'ksilim ha'makrivim bilti hakna'a kodemet. Because when it really comes down to it, one should not be so foolish as to believe that the korbanot is some kind of a magical spell that takes place, that you push this button and you can move God, as it were. No, the main thing about the korban is the shift which takes place within the human being, and that's how it works. The Kfarim Ruzal, and the rabbis already expressed, Mikem, when an offering is offered from you. Now, till now, the from you has been from within the individual. Now he makes a slight shift, which you'll see is actually interrelated. Mikem v'lo kulchem, from you, but not all of you. Lahotzi et hamumar, in order to say that a person who is a non-believer, and I'm not translating mumar right now in perhaps its most technical sense, but a mumar is somebody who's outside of the camp, as it were, because of their beliefs. So in saying that somebody who's a mumar, somebody who doesn't believe in the process, somebody who doesn't believe, let's say, in God, for example, then these things don't work, which means the korban only works by somebody who actually is on the inside. Therefore, mikim v'lo kulchem. So that, till now, has been dealing with the aspect of the korban which we can talk till now in terms of the gavra, the individual, the human being who's offering. Now he shifts, because of the continuation of the verse. The verse read, Adam ki akriv mikem korban la'ashem min ha-behima, u min ha-bakar min ha-tzon. So now it shifts to the subject, to the cheftza. The subject is the animal, min ha-behima, im yakriv behima, lo yarak mi min bakar u-tzon v'lo shum min chaya. Afo pi shehi b'chlal behima. That it's starting to tell us that there are limits as far as what is considered to be acceptable animals, and not all animals are acceptable. And so on. There are kosher animals which are considered to be absolutely fine for human consumption, but those are not all necessarily appropriate for korbanot. And this will then help us to understand the matter of what happened with Cain. So I will tell you now that with this introduction of Cain into this discussion, so that's where we will be spending the rest of today, but we'll be with Cain and Cain's offering and the inappropriateness or the problem with the offering which was brought. But he says, Uzet ba'er inyan Cain, and this will help us have insight to understand what happened with Cain ba'amru, where it says, Ve'el Cain ve'el minchato lo sha'a. When it came to Cain's offering, God did not accept or turn to. Ki haya hu mikat Haminim, because Cain was a non-believer. So again, a couple of moments before, he said that there's two ways for the korban to be inappropriate. One way is the person bringing it does not believe in the system properly, and therefore he's excluded. The other way is the animal which is brought is the inappropriate animal. So over here, we don't know yet, because we haven't looked inside at the verses themselves, why Cain's offering was not accepted, and on the other hand, why the offering of Hevel was accepted. So I could now say, just again, off the top of my head, without working very hard, I could say there's one of two problems. One is the problem with the individual, the other problem is with what he brought. I could ultimately say that if there's a problem with what he brought, then maybe that indicates there's a problem with the individual as well. But we haven't, as of yet, identified what the problem is. Although we all, I hope, recall that Cain did not bring an animal at all. And if over here we're being told in this very first verse that what needs to be brought is an animal, even though this will be modified later on, so maybe that would be the issue. But the Svarim don't know, says no, that he was Mikat Taminim She'ein Makablim Mehem Korban. How does he know this? Because of what happens eventually with Cain and how this indicates upon the beginning of the story as well. Now, the truth is, this is a little unfair. And as I said, we need to read the verses themselves. Maybe right here in the middle, we'll take a look. In source number 6. V'adam yadat Chava ishto. And Adam was intimate with Chava, his wife. V'tahar v'telet et Kayin. She became pregnant and she gave birth to Kayin. But Tomer, and she said, Keniti ish et Hashem. I've made an acquisition, as it were, with God. By the way, this is a very strange thing to say. Over here we have, as it was, somewhat of a dysfunctional relationship between Adam and Eve after the sin took place. According to the chronology which is suggested, there was a separation for many years. The question actually comes up, when exactly were Cain and Hevel conceived? There are those midrashim which suggest that they were already conceived and maybe even given birth to in Eden still, and or those that suggest afterwards. Nonetheless, we do know that by virtue of the sin which took place, there was separation between Adam and Eve and God, which means, again, that's that being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Over here, for some reason, through having this child, she is suggesting or praying or hoping that there will be somehow an acquisition or somehow a healing of that relationship with God. So therefore, maybe the first sacrifice ever given was Cain. Right? This is the mother sacrificing her child in order to somehow imagine this relationship with God is going to be healed. V'tosef lo ledet et achiv et havel. She continued, and the question is, were they twins or not? Because it doesn't talk about her getting pregnant again. She continued to give birth to his brother, Hevel. The name Hevel, of course, is not an indication of... it's not an indication of greatness. If I just go back for a moment to the thought about that the way the korban really works is through hachna'ah, is through a person's self-effacement, a person feeling small in front of God. So it's interesting over here when I look at the two names, I have Keniti et Hashem, right? Keniti ish et Hashem, I have this acquisition with God, which again is very strange, but then I have Hevel, which seems to be the one who really has much more of, much more contrite and so on. Vi Hevel ro'etzon. Hevel was a shepherd. V'kayin haya oved adama. And Cain worked the ground. Now, of course, knowing the background of this family history, we know that when they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, one of the curses which are told is that you have to work the ground. From the sweat of your brow will you eat your bread. On the other hand, we know that before this sin took place, Adam was there with the animals, giving names to the animals and so on, which means if I had to look at these two sons, there's something about Hevel which reminds me of Adam before the sin, and maybe even before he ate from the tree, maybe before he ate from the tree to be like God. And there's something about Cain over here which is making an acquisition within God, and as I said, that's something which needs to be considered. V'yihi miketz yamim, which is, again, a very difficult phrase. What does it mean, miketz yamim, at the end of days? Which, at the end of days, I mean, everything's still brand new. There's still plastic on most of the trees and so on and so forth. V'yihi miketz yamim, v'yaveh Cain mipri ha'adama mincha la'Hashem. And Cain brought from the fruits of the ground an offering to God. Now, I want to pause right here, because when we go back and look at our commentary there in the Sforno, right away he accuses Cain of being from the terrible people. Now, Cain just now brought an offering to God. Matter of fact, as far as we can tell, he's the first one that does this. As far as we can tell, there seems to be sincerity involved within this gesture. We do know how the story ends up, that God does not accept this, and Hevel brings an offering, and he likes Hevel's offering better. There's a little bit of a discussion about the Yetzer Hara. Finally, we have... And we'll read this a little bit more, but we finally, at the end, as we all know, Cain kills Hevel. So over here, he's accusing him of being of the type of person who an offering should not be accepted from, because how we know the story ends up. Now, again, let's pause there for a second. Let me phrase it like this. Just because he killed a human being, does that mean that he doesn't believe in God? We have many religious lunatics who go around killing people for the sake of God. So therefore, does the taking of a life actually indicate that his offering, which he brought beforehand... By the way, if you were to tell me that over here we have a terrible sinner, he goes and he kills somebody, and then he turns to God and says, listen, God, let's make this up, I'm going to give you an offering right now, so then I can begin to start to suspect in terms of some kind of a cynical motive. But over here, the order is actually inversed. First, he brings an offering. God doesn't accept the offering, which, by the way, is the big problem right now. We have a dialogue which takes place between Cain and Hevel, which we don't know what that dialogue is. We have, as I said, Hevel bringing an offering, and God does like that offering. We have Cain killing Hevel for reasons that we don't necessarily know, even though we may think we know what the reasons are. And then we have him saying, oh, look, because of what he did afterwards, therefore it indicates about how terrible he must have been initially. Yeah.
You said something about separation. Now, if we think that the boys were born either right after or just before they left. So we have here, you're saying that the whole family left Gan Eden and they stayed together before them were together, as far as you know? You know, there wasn't a separation in the family. He's saying there was.
The separation I indicated... The separation I indicated is that after, we're told later on, when a third son is born afterwards, we're told after 130 years... So there the Midrashim say that there was a separation. So when exactly the separation is...
Separation between Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Okay, so but let's...
By the way, they could have lived in the same house.
Okay, so let's say they're still together here. Don't we have a whole span of time to pass?
Yeah.
And then... So
maybe I'll come back to the time soon.
But we don't see anything of these boys until a certain point where...
Right, I'm also intrigued to keep calling them boys, but okay.
Well, I don't know what to call them. Are they men?
I don't know.
Let's say boys.
Okay.
So one of them comes to bring an offering. It's the first thing we really see about him after we get his name, right?
No, the first thing we see is Miketz Hayamim.
That he's working in the
right. Sorry. But we have Miketz Hayamim. We have some kind of time frame went by. So we go back to the Sforno now. We read, he says, no, because of what happened subsequently, that tells us about the beginning. Ukeshaita minchatomi min bilti ra'ui lahakrava. And the problem over here is that he brought an offering from something which was inappropriate. Now, what exactly is the inappropriateness? So he seems to indicate the inappropriateness is mimin. He brought it from a type of an offering which is an inappropriate offering. See, this interpretation of the Sforno, with all due respect, is not necessarily indicated by the verses themselves. We'll read the verses, and we'll see exactly what I'm referring to. But over here, he says the problem is that from which species he brought it. Mimin biltira oila krava. Now, it's true. If I interpret this very verse here, and only this very verse, which means I only read the second verse in the book of Ayikra, what does it say? Dabero b'nei Israel. And I have to wonder, okay, is this only a law for Jews, not Jews? As far as I know, I don't recall seeing the invitation for Cain and Hevel's bar mitzvah. So I'm not exactly sure if they were Jewish or not. Did we get that invitation or no?
We probably did.
We probably did. It could be, okay. Ki akriv mikem korban lahashem min ha-behima u min ha-bakar u min ha-tson takrivet korban chem. This is what you bring the korban from only these things. Okay, if I can only bring from these things, and now I stop right here by the second pasuk in Vayikra, and I go back and I say, okay, what was the problem with Cain? Okay, it's very clear the problem. He brought from the wrong species. He didn't bring from one of these things he's supposed to bring from. Continue reading in the Sfarno.
It solved the problem with Cain.
I know. I'll come back to that. Agreed. The Sforno is very strange. Continue. He said he brought the wrong thing. By the way, that seems to be an indication that he did a pretty good job. Because it caused this pleasant odor, as it were, that God seems to accept it. God only accepts the from the species which were appropriate. Regarding those species which were appropriate, avoloki bel kol korbanosha mikol habehema Torah umikol ofa tahor. If you go back and you start thinking about the offering that Noach brought, on the one hand, what Noach brought was very positive. Why? Because it says that God accepts it. On the other hand, Noach is commanded twice to bring the animals. One time he brings all the animals, two of each species, to save the species. Then he brings seven of those which are pure, of all the animals and of all the birds. Not every kosher, again, he's reading over here and understanding, you have kosher animals and kosher birds, which are not necessarily brought for a korban. Is a chicken brought for a korban?
No.
Rashi says right on the spot,
So if he brings from every species which is kosher, which is apparently, see, tahara could mean, okay, I'm sorry, I keep stopping in the middle. The question is to what extent we should be reading Noach through Vayikra, to what extent we should be reading Cain and Hevel through Vayikra. And that's really what the Sforno is doing over here, is he's saying that we later find out which are kosher animals, and based on those kosher animals, okay, we also know there is one whole group kosher animals and one whole group animals which are appropriate for the Mizbeach. Those are not the same. There's overlap, but it's not a complete identification. So he's saying if Noach brings offerings from every single kosher animal, some of those are not royal Mizbeach. Some of those should not be offered. So that's why he's saying that Noach also, okay, God accepted it, but not everything, because Noach messed up. Why did Noach mess up? Because he didn't learn Sefer Vayikra properly. So that seems to be the, again, what the Sforno is doing here is very, very clear. He's not the first, he's not the only one ever to do this, reading earlier sections through the prism of later sections over here, and therefore telling us what the problems were in earlier sections. Again, Cain on the one hand and Noach on the other.
The premise that you're saying is that God has a set rule that's fixed, and regardless if you should have pre-knowledge or no knowledge, you have to come to that level on your own?
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say, and maybe the one who will, let's say like this, let's just say the spiritual reality. God creates the world through spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is that certain korbanot are accepted. So those korbanot accepted because those are the ones that identify spiritual reality. So therefore, I could have said the way that the Sforno started, the main thing about the korban is the inner feeling and the wanting to connect to God and so on. On the other hand, an inner feeling wanting to connect to God can also be avodah zarah. It can also be idolatry because God didn't ask for that particular type of service. So over here, what they're doing, so far the Sforno, we'll see in Kli Yikra in a second, what they're doing is they're really telling us is that Sefer Vayikra indicates a spiritual reality, and therefore to the extent that earlier chapters fit into those spiritual realities, it was accepted, and the ones that didn't were not, and therefore it becomes very simple. Now, let's continue with the Kli Yikra, because he goes along the same lines, and we're going to come back to the Kli Yikra in his commentary to Cain soon. Source 3. V'nira l'faresha lazhir kol makuivei korban l'Hashem shelo yichshelu b'shnei dvurim Hashem behem nichshel Cain v'hevel. Where again, same exact approach as the Sforno, that Vayikra begins by telling us the proper korbanot, but in order to know the proper korbanot, don't mess up on the improper korbanot. And if we're not mistaken, It sounds like the improper korbanot he didn't say was kayin, which is really the direction you wanted to go before. He says the improper korbanot are kayin and hevel. We'll see how much this stretches the pshat in Bereishit. Shayu rishonim b'hakorvat korban. They were the very first ones to bring offerings. Ki kayin nichshal b'ma shehivi min hapachot v'hagarua v'hu zera pishtan. Because Cain failed by bringing something which was really a very, very low-level korban, and what he actually brought was zera pishtan. He brought flax now. How in the world the Kli Yakar knows that he brought flax is a very, very fair question. The answer, of course, is that there are midrashim that say this. This is not something that he just looking in the psukim. And again, let's go back and look at the psukim again. In 6, then we'll come back to 3. He writes in Pasuk Gimel, "Vayihim ikeitz yamim vayavei kayim mi pri ha'adama mincha l'Hashem." What is mi pri ha'adama? He brought from among the fruits of the ground an offering to God, a mincha. Vehevel gam hu mi bichorot tzono u'michevlehem. And Hevel also brought, but what does it say by Hevel's? Mi bichorot, that he brought from the choices, from the first. So therefore, there's two differences between Cain and Hevel. There's actually a third difference, but we'll ignore the third difference right now. The third difference that we're ignoring is that Cain does it first. Cain brings this offering, but he brings from something which does not fit in to Vayikra Perek Aleph Pasuk Bet. It's not one of the animals. And not only that, he was just now accused by the Kli Yakar, by way of the Midrash, that he brought Pishtan and it wasn't choice. So how does he know it's not choice? Because the verse is lacking the choice there. So again, two things. One is Hevel, when we look at the contrast between the two, Hevel brings animals, which fits into Vayikra, but secondly, he means mi b'chorot, he brings from the first. All that it says here, mi priya adama. So mi priya adama, from among the things of the ground. From the things of the ground is not the choicest things from the ground, and that is exactly where Chazal are focus and see what's lacking. Now let's go back to the Kli Yakar again. And it says, "Kikayin nechshal b'ma shivim min apachot v'hagaruah v'uzera pishtan v'chataim b'nafshotam tzrichim lavi nefesh habehema turat nafsham." And when one brings an offering, one needs to bring it as an exchange. Again, this transference for the person's soul itself. Now, again, this is an echo of the Ramban that went again focusing primarily on a sin offering, and therefore Kayin brought a very bad sin offering. Of course, you realize the problem with this interpretation. One is, who said that he brought a sin offering? Matter of fact, it doesn't say he brought a sin offering. Again, it's going backwards. He sins afterwards, so now the sin offering is not appropriate. But he didn't bring a sin offering. What does it say that he brought? What does it say he did? Mincha l'Hashem. What's a mincha? Continue in the Kli Yakar. Whoever brings the offering ki'ilu hikriv nafsho kamo shepirish Rashi ala pasuk v'nefesh ki takriv mincha. We're going to come back to that pasuk in a moment. The hevel af al pi shehivim b'bchorot tzono mikol makom lo tov asa. And hevel also, even though he brought the choices, it wasn't good what he did. Shalonit orer ela korban me'atzmo. He didn't wake up to bring this by himself. V'lo nizdarez lo mitzvah zu me'atzmo. And he didn't really feel drawn to this mitzvah by himself. Rak achar shera'a shehikriv kayin korban az nitkana bo. That only after he saw Kayin did it, he was jealous. Vehevel hivi gam hu lashvot atzmo elav kumvor lamala prashaparashit. And he only did it in order to that he can, because of jealousy and so on. So now he ended up telling you that Kayin was no good and Hevel was no good and both their korban was no good. But I also want to pay attention to what he said in passing, that the korban was no good. You notice he said because of what Rashi explained on the pasuk for nefesh ki tagriv mincha, that a mincha is not a very good. And how does he say over here? She'ein ba nefesh shema lov ki ilu hikriv nafsho kama pirush Rashi pasuk v'nefesh kriv mincha. He makes it sound as if, you know, we go to the beginning of that line. Uvidocha ki tira kadosh baruch hu la'ani lahavi mincha. She'ein ba nefesh u'ma'ale alav ki ilu hikriv nafsho. Vidocha ki tira kadosh baruch hu. God barely allowed this, and God didn't, you know, really like it so much, as Rashi explained. I want to look at the Rashi. V'nefesh ki takriv korban mincha laHashem. When a soul wants to bring an offering to God, a mincha laHashem, solot yiyeh korbano, v'yatzak ale Hashem ed matan ale levona. Rashi, v'nefesh ki takriv, lo ne'emar nefesh bechol korbanot nidava ele b'mincha. Here we're talking about a nidava. What's a nidava? A voluntary offering, not a sin offering. Mi dar kol nev mincha, who will generally be the type who will give a voluntary offering, which is a grain offering, a mincha? Ani, it's somebody who is poor. Amar kodesh baruch hu ma'aleni alav ki ilu hakriv nafsho. God says, I look at this as if the person actually offered his whole essence. By the way, that didn't sound like bedochak. Again, the way the Kli Yakar read this Rashi was, no. The way that a korban chatat works is the chatat works as a transference for the human being. The human being should die, the animal dies instead. Human being, again, whole thing echoing the Ramban. Human being sees the animal dies, realize it really should be him, and this causes this catharsis in the individual to break down and to change their ways and to serve God with renewed devotion. That's all very nice. We're not talking about a korban chatat over here. We're talking about a korban mincha. We're not talking about something which is because I've sinned, rather because I want to make an offering to God. But what did Rashi say? Rashi actually said over here that God accepts it as if the person is giving their very essence. Why? Because this poor person does not have all that many resources, and the resources that he does have, he's offering up to God. So God accepts this. It sounds absolutely, if I can say the word enthusiastically, on God's part. That's what Rashi says. And the Kli Yakar said, oh, because God accepted this over here, and therefore, again, do you realize what he's doing? And therefore, go back and look at what Cain did. What Cain did was terrible, because Cain offered a mincha, and the mincha that he offered wasn't an animal. And so I have to slow down. First of all, I find it completely fascinating how both the Kli Yakar and the Sforno are taking issues in a very selected way about Cain and Hevel, a little Noah also, reading it back into Bereshit through the prism of Vayikra, but through a very narrow, and I think even stilted, understanding of what it says in Vayikra. I mean, the very Rashi that he just now brought.
Confused.
Right? The very proof that he brought from Rashi is just not what Rashi said. Yeah.
The only way I could see it as a sin offering is if the sons
I'm not there yet by then. I'm just. No. Slow down. The Kli Yakar is quoting a pasuk having to do with a korban mincha. The korban mincha is a nidava. Rashi's focusing on a nidava. We're not talking about a sin offering here whatsoever in terms of the mincha. And to say that Rashi's barely God accepted it, this has nothing to do with the chatat. So I'm saying just reading the section over here in Vayikra, and then using this to understand what happens over there in Bereshit is a little strange. So let's go back again now. Let's go back again. Read through the kind of Hevel story a little bit. Be a little more careful now. And we know, as I said, where the Sforno was going and where the Kli Yakar is going. Again, V'adam yadat chava ishto v'tar v'thelet et kain v'tomer kaniti ish et Hashem. V'tosef aledet et achiv et hevel v'yevo re'otzon v'kain haya oved adama. We actually have this inverse takes place over here. We have the pregnancy of Chava carrying Kain and then him being born, relationship with God. We have no pregnancy, and Hevel appears. We have Hevel works the ground, again, Hevel being a shepherd, like Adam presumably was before the sin, and then Cain working the ground as per the rules after the sin. V'yihi kates hayamim, we have no idea what kates means right now, we'll see some commentaries in a second. V'yivi Cain mi pri adama mincha l'Hashem. He brings from the fruits of the ground. But by the way, based upon the description over here, what time of year would it be? When? So which time of year? Why would you say Pesach? I mean, agree, but why would you say Pesach?
It has to be spring.
Reshit Pri Adama. When do things start to go? All you city folk over here, I apologize. That when things start to grow would be the springtime. So mi pri adama mincha l'Hashem, and then Hevel brings mi b'chorot. So take a look at source number 7. Vayihi miketz yamim, it happened at the end of days. Zman Pesach haya, it was Passover time. Amar Adam levanav, atidim Yisrael kulam lavi pischeim v'yu l'ratzon. The eighth ratzon he's out. It's Passover. What do? Passover, you bring the Korban Pesach. So it's a good time to bring the Korban Pesach. So what is he doing, according to the Midrash? Which means it's focusing on this spring aspect of the narrative and saying, so what do Jews do in spring? Well, half of them clean and the other ones bring the Korban Pesach. So he's focusing on the on the Korban Pesach. Over here it says, Afatai viyu Korban chem, lefneim viyu ritzelachem. He brought the leftovers of what he didn't eat, and he brought the and what did he bring? Actually, zera pishtan. The targum Yonatan in source number 8. But he misof yamim miketz yamim uva ba'a asar ben nisan. So again, it focuses on the same idea that here we're talking about. Pesach. So again, just in case you never would have imagined, you know, maybe there's a whole other reason. It's not the death of the firstborn, but it's very close. But over here we have a narrative which, on the midrashic level, based upon the text itself, it tries to push it into the Pesach story. I would say one more thing about this. Is that we say that the students of Rabbi Akiva died, Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh, they didn't treat one another properly. So here we have the first people who don't treat one another properly. And who is it? It's Cain and Hevel, which means the problems that later come out with the students of Rabbi Akiva, here you have the first time that people don't get along with one another, which goes right back to the exact same time period from between Pesach and Shavuot. Yeah.
Carry the same idea. In Shavuot, we bring the first fruit that comes from the land.
Correct.
So you could say that they had the idea.
Correct.
But one brought the food and one brought the
correct. Food. I can assure you that there were sources that say this that I cut out to get down to 4 pages that do make this connection together with Chag HaBikurim and the fruits and so on. They see this as some kind of a tikkun, 100%. Rashi Mipriya Adama, source 9. Min hagarua v'yesh agadash omeret zera pishtan haya. He brought the most inferior types of fruits, and the midrash says that it was pishtan. Again, where did they get pishtan from? Ibn Ezra writes uva avur. Ibn Ezra writes in 10 uva avur shakatav bi becharot sono that when it came to Hevel, it says from the choicest ones yesh smach kilo vikayin minha bikurim. So therefore, by the absence of saying from the choices, we realize that he didn't bring the Bikurim. So therefore, the whole introduction of the holiday of Bikurim, once we're in the springtime, and we know that Shavuot, which is Matan Torah, which is Kabbalat Torah, V'Klal Gadol B'Torah, is V'Haftarecha Kamocha, and so on, you realize now you can give a whole drasha on this very very easily, using the Kayin Hevel story with the Pesach timeline in order to see all of those connections. But I'll spare you from giving you that whole talk. You already see the connections. The Radak in source number, V'Amma Mipri, it must be something inferior. O achar she'achal hu hivi min hanotar lefanav. V'kol zeh b'derech bizayon. That he brought leftovers, he didn't bring the choicest. And he goes, again, why do you feel this? All this goes to comparison. So, again, as far as Hevel's jealousy towards Cain, that we don't know yet. But not only would we then say that Hevel is jealous and therefore also decides to serve God, what else does he do? He says, I'm going to do it in a better way than you did it. That's actually, it says, Kinat Sofrim Arber Chochma, that sometimes, you know, you're jealous of somebody else. So there's a good jealousy. What's a good jealousy? It causes you to do something even better. So over here, by, yes, the first one to offer something is Kayin, but he does it, we're told, in not the best way. Lefichach lo netzak korbano, and therefore his offering was not accepted. Gam lo hivi min habikurim, because he didn't bring from the best. Kim hivi haya omer kamo sha'amar behevel. It would have said it, lefichach lo netzakabel korbano. So again, I want to read back in source number 6, Pasuk Dalet. Vehevel hivi gam hu mi becharot tzono, michlaveim, vayisha Hashem et hevel ve'et minchato. He accepted Hevel's offering. It's very interesting, actually, to use minchato is used over here. I'll try to come back to that. The El Kayin ve El Minchato, but when it came to the offering of Kayin, lo sha'a, God did not accept. Bichar le Kayin ma'od viplu panav, and he was very upset, and he gets perhaps depressed as well. So over here, the comparison goes back and forth. On the one hand, the thing which is lacking from the offering of Kayin is from the choicest. The thing which, but, it's two things. It's the choicest, but it's also from an animal. So is it one or is it two? Is it that he brought the wrong species, as we saw some suggest, or is it that he brought not the choicest ones? What really jumps out of the text is that he did not bring the choicest, and that's why God doesn't accept it. Although Hevel then is guilty perhaps of some one-upmanship. It says, not only do I bring the best, I'm going to bring the best of the animals over here. So to what extent Hevel is just completely innocent and wants to serve God, and to what extent does he want to show up his brother? But God accepts it. Why does God accept it? So again, as we saw some wanted to say before, but Hevel was guilty of jealousy and so on, so then why does God accept it? God accepts it seems to be that because he really does bring the choicest animal. Source number 12, there's a machloket if the world is created in Nisan or Tishri. Over here, we're jumping into the middle of that midrash. It says, Man da amar b'nisan nivra olam, according to the opinion the world was created in Nisan, Asa hevel kayim min ha-pesach v'ad ha-tzeret. How long did he live? He was born Pesach time? You said the boys before. He only lived until Atzeret. So Garden of Eden, everything's a little bit different. He's born in the Garden of Eden, already completely functioning.
Was an
adult. Completely functioning, only lives, according to this, some 50 days. And therefore, according to this, when does he offer his non-Bikurim? His non-Bikurim he offers on Atzeret. So when does he live? He lives those exact 50 days from Pesach to Atzeret. According to this, he's born on Pesach, he dies on Atzeret, he lives 50 days, which, by the way, again, this whole theme of the Lo Nagu Kovod Zelazed during the Omer and so on, over here, what the Midrash is doing, it's taking the Kayin and Hevel story and reading it into the Pesach story, not from the historical slavery aspect, unless you want to read working the ground itself as slavery, but it's reading it from the agricultural aspect of the Pesach to the Shavuot story. That seems to be what it does.
If it calls it Kitzayim, then it implies the end of the period of counting.
Correct. And that seems to be exactly what the Midrash is focusing on. The Ramban, for his part, sees the offering of Noach and the offering of Kayin. Every korban ever brought, he sees as being positive. Again, because he's out to war against the Rambam, there's some perceived negativity about korbanot. So he hears the korban being in the most positive way. The Ramban, source 13, vayvi kain mipri adama min chal Hashem, vayvi gam hu. Hivinu an Hashem e'ela sod gadu mea korbanot v'hamenachot. They understood the great secrets of the korbanot and the menachot, the chay noach, which means there's no perceived negativity over here. He connects to the mincha, and he connects to the korban. Of course, there's a downside to what the Ramban says, and what's that? So if he's connecting to the sod of the mincha, so then why doesn't God know that he's connecting to the sod of the mincha? Why doesn't God accept the offering? So if nothing else, we've noticed today, I don't want to say a couple commentaries all having a bad day, but we've noticed the Kli Yakar saying something very difficult, we noticed the Sforno saying something very difficult, and we noticed the Ramban also saying something very difficult. All of them seem to be looking at larger issues, and therefore they read this story in, or they nuance it in a way which they find convenient. Chizkuni 14, Vayavi Kayin, Mipri Adama, Mimotar Ma'achalo, Kedichtiva Hi Miketz Yamim, Vayavi Kayin La'achar Zman. Kain Meforish Rashi Zerapishtan Hivi, Ulaficha Kaminchato Lo Sha'a. And that's why God didn't accept it. Lafisha Vim Mimotar Ma'achalo, Mimotar Ma'achalo, because he brought from his leftovers. Umin Adama Shenit Kalila, and he brought from the land which has been cursed. Aval Hevel. So again, what I said before, as far as the before the sin and after the sin, he's bringing from the cursed land. Aval Hevel Ivi Devar Chashuv Kodem Shenenam Mehem Kedistiv Mi Bechorot. He didn't bring the leftovers. He brought the very choice as soon as it's born, and so on. Ofisha Ba Kilkul Ayedei Shnei Korbanot Halalu, and because these two korbanot together brought, shall we say, they brought death into the world, calamity. His hiram hakadosh baruch hu shelo yitchabru tzemer upishtim yachdav. That's the reason we don't put together shatnez. And this is based upon the midrash. This is the midrash. The midrash is saying is that the idea of shatnez is represented by the two korbanot over here together, and when we put kain and hevel together, we end up with death. And therefore, one should not wear tzemer and pishtim together. The fact that a kohen can wear it, or the kohen gadol does wear it, and so on, is needs to be understood as well.
Is that where they get the flax to begin with?
That's right.
They went back from that idea.
The flax of the world.
That was the motivation from the very.
Yeah, okay.
But that's the problem, because you say a sheep is allowed to be brought for korban. You can't have it both ways.
You can't have it together.
Not a shatnez. If you're saying that he brought the wrong kind of animal, but you're also saying that he brought sheep, you can't have it both ways. Either he brought the wrong kind of animal, or he brought a deer, but the deer doesn't have wool. So you can't. You're playing both sides against the middle.
There's no middle. So when in doubt, you blame the mother. Look at source 15 of the Rikanati. V'yesh l'cha l'dat b'nei ma hevel nitratzah v'kain lo nitratzah. Why was one accepted and not the other? Ki kain evi mipri adama shelo ya baruch hayim. Because he didn't bring something which had life to it. V'lo shat libo rak l'zot k'damar oved adama. Only something that grows from the ground. V'lo la dvrim l'makom elyon rak tafas derech imo shesachta anavim. Just like his mother took from the fruits and messed up the world with the fruits that she took, he took from the fruits.
Because
the Aesop was grapes. Amnam hevel tafas derech aviv. He followed his father. V'hikriva kochot v'nit alu l'makom elyonim. He went in, and his father was again giving names to the animals and so on. Right.
Oh.
And he quotes at the end, "Mipirkei Belezer Hagadol Zichrono Levracha Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha." This is also found in Tanchuma. Omer Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Lo Yitarvu Minchat Kain UMinchat Hevel. One should not mix together the offerings of Kain and Hevel. Olam Afilu BaArag Beged. Even when one makes clothing, V'Remes Ki Hayu Kavanoteim Chalukot K'Moshe BiArnu. Of course, they both had very, very different intentions, and bringing these two things together causes damage. Rabbeinu Bechaye, we need a little Zionism, especially this week. Mipri Adama, so what was the problem? Hayololavim Bikurim Mipri Ha'ilan, Mishivat Haminim. He didn't bring from the seven species. That was the problem. He brought Mipri Adama, and not Sheva Minim. But rather, it indicates that he brought something which was inferior. At the end, ki heavily vibi korim midvar haruim lekorban v'kain evim perot she'enim ruim lekorban v'lo bikurei perot ela pachot sheba perot. He didn't bring the bikurim; he brought the inferior ones. The Midrash Rabban 17, which is a lot of what others have been focusing on, And I want you to notice the language. We'll see what some do with the language. Ve'yavi kain mipri adama mincha la'ashem min ha'psolet. He brought the inferior, the garbage. La'aris ra shahay, and it's missing words here. It really should say, mashal l'mahadavar domeh. What can this be compared to? La'aris ra, somebody who works the land for the balabayit, for the owner, that he eats the best, the choicest, and he brings the worst, the very end, from the word sof, the very end. What's the sayafot over here? The end? Siafot, from the very end, is v'hevili v'gamhu mi b'chorotzonu mechalevim. So again, this distinction between bringing the best and bringing the worst, the Midrash already focuses it. What's the Midrash based on? That it says by hevel that he brings the choices. It leaves out the word choices by kain. So what does it say? Not just did he not bring the choices, it goes to the other extreme. He brought the siafot. He brought the end. Now, let's go back to our kliyakar now, because the kliyakar said, as I explained by kain hevel, we'll see how far we can get with the time remaining in source 18. V'hi miketz yamim v'yave kayim mipri ha'adama mincha l'ashem. Lo purash b'mekra ma'u miketz yamim v'eim atay t'chidu oto ha'yamim asher leim ba'aketz. We're not told what the time frame is, what we're talking about. V'nir lomar outside ha'remez ki kayim v'hevel yu chalukim b'shleimut ha'adamahu. They had an argument, a philosophical argument about man. Im olam hazeh v'hatzlachotav sof shleimut ha'adam v'ein shleimut ha'charav. Om yesh od olam achar nitzchi. Kfiyenu ashakayne ya ohev adamas avar she'en cheshbon b'sha'ul v'olam hazeh einu misha'er acharav ma'uma akein bachar lo l'chalko kol chemdat olam hazeh v'atzlachotav b'cheshvo ki yituran eretz b'chol hi. V'hevel savar ki yesh od olam achar nitzchi asher b'yasig adam ha'tachlit acharon akein bachar lo liyot ro'etzon ha'gorem hitbodedut k'derech shasu harbein nevi'im k'moshe v'david, and so on. Oh, interesting. So the argument... Yes. The argument between the two of them is as follows. As far as the Kli Yakar is concerned, Kain believes only in this world, and Hevel believes in another world. Kain believes in the here and now, and Hevel believes that there's going to be another world which follows. And that's the basis of the argument. So therefore, Kain believes only in this world. He's only willing to give a little bit of this world because that's all that there is. But and by the way, if he's right that he doesn't believe in another world, he only believes in this world. That's why he's a mu'min. That's why he's an unbeliever. But by the way, if he only believes in this world, but he's still willing to sacrifice from this world to God, it's far more impressive than somebody who believes that this world is meaningless, you can't take it with you. So it's very interesting, first of all, what he read into it. He reads into Cain and Hevel's argument, do I believe in a world to come, or do I only believe in this world? That's the first thing which he brings in. Go to the next paragraph.
But how can they believe in just this one? They just thrown out and done anything. Like, the father is there, the mother is there, and the first creation of the world, how could they not believe in God?
That kind of
so it. Close to it.
Turn to the next page. Turn to the next page. Turn to the next page, the third line. V'ra'iti b'sefer Tzror Hamor. What I'm about to read is found in many commentaries. He quotes two that he saw it in. V'ra'iti b'sefer Tzror Hamor v'chein pirish hara'im. Ki korban, yes, yes. V'chein pirish haraim, ki korban sof tevot pishtan. What does that mean? Ki shetichtov, when you spell out korban to its letters, kuf resh bet nun korban. What's the last letter in the kuf? It's a pei. Last letter of the resh, it's a shin. Last letter of the bet, it's a taflef. And the nun isn't. Is a nun. So what does that spell out? Pishtan. So it says he didn't give from the choice korban. He brought from, what was the language of the Midrash? From the sof. So he goes, what's the sof of the korban that he brings? It's pishtan. That seems to be what they're saying. Those of you who love gematria will be very, very pleased. Those of you who don't, I would say that this should be understood at least as a as a remez. So let's go to the very end over here, where it's underlined. Hiskir sadeh lefi shehaya vikuach b'nehem. Why does it mention what happened out in the field? There was an argument among them, b'inyan on korbanot. V'kol echad matil dofi b'korbano shel chavero. Both, now, again, let's go back to our source number 6 one more time. God accepts the offering of Hevel and not of Cain. Pasuk Vav Vayomar Shem Al Cain Lama Chara Lach V'Lama Naflu Panecha. Why are you upset and depressed? Halom Titiv Se'et V'Lo Titiv L'Petach Atat Rovetz V'Lecha Tishaku V'Ata Timshalbo. Essentially telling him that you have the ability of controlling your anger, you're controlling your Yetzahara. Vayomar Pasuk Chet, this is the important one. Vayomar Cain El Hevel Achiv. Cain says to Hevel, when they were in the field, he rises against his brother and kills him. Now everybody notices there's something missing in this verse. The content. It says they speak, but doesn't say what they say. It says they speak in a field, he rises up against him and he kills him. And then afterwards comes my brother's keeper and so on and so forth. Let's now go back to the Kli Yakar. Hiskir Sadeh, why a field? Because they were arguing about the korbanot. And each one thought the other one's offering was inappropriate. Like any people, two people that fight. Hevel opens his mouth to Cain and accuses him. He says, how in the world did you bring something which was so inferior? The kain ma'ashim et hevel, al asher lo nit'arer la ma'aseh ma'atzmo, for not thinking about this himself and basically imitating him. Ki im ad achar shara et korbano shel kain, avar lav ruach kin'ah, saying that your entire offering was based upon jealousy and not based upon any pure motives. V'ritzah lahashvoti lav gamhu, and all that you wanted to do is try to imitate, to be like me. You didn't think of this by yourself. It goes, so therefore your whole service of God will be very good when you live in a society where there are other people, which is obviously a very strange conversation taking point at this juncture of history. When you're out in the field, when no one's there, when no one else is there, you will never come to do anything good by yourself in a field because you never thought of anything yourself because you have no originality whatsoever. Because you know what? There's no reason for you to be in this world because you have no individuality or creativity. You just imitate others. The world doesn't need you. The world doesn't need someone like you because you can't think of anything yourself. Because God doesn't need fools and nothings. And Hevel is a nothing. People act in such ways and they don't do things l'shem shemayim. And Cain won the argument based on this. Of course, there was some collateral damage when he killed him. And that's why all this takes place in the field. Look, the main thing that I wanted to do today... The main thing that I wanted to do today is really within the context of the korbanot is to go back and to look at this narrative of Cain and Hevel. After we begin, you know, before you begin and after we finish, we're still going to be faced with problems in the text. And the reason the problems in the text is because there's obvious information which is missing within the text. Just because there's information missing doesn't, however, mean that there's nothing there that one can learn from or one could discern. I do want to point out one thing in conclusion, and just to wrap everything up from the beginning. One is there are korbanot which are based upon animals, but there are also korbanot which are based upon grain. there's a korban mincha, which we saw the way it was colored, and words were put in Rashi's mouth. Bikoshi, you know, bedochek, God accepted this. Even the Rashi seemed to say the opposite, that when the poor person offers what he has, it's as if he's offered his entire essence, which goes back to the exact same understanding of what the Ramban would say is the purpose of a korban chatat. So that seemed to be a little bit unfair. What's interesting, though, is that the very first korban which was ever offered was a korban mincha. It's also very interesting that even the animal that was offered is also labeled and called a korban mincha. So I just want to remind you, Charlotte, you said you look back at what I said previous years. I want to remind you of something I did say in the previous year based upon Rav Kook. Rav Kook, in his commentary to the Siddur, and one year we actually looked at a lot of things that he said about Korbanot, but in his commentary to the Siddur, he says that eventually, okay, let me just put this together a little bit clearer. He believes there will be a third Beit HaMikdash. He believes the third Beit HaMikdash will begin with Korbanot. But he believes that the time will come when we'll no longer be bringing Korbanot. His major motivation for not bringing Korbanot anymore is not because we're going to become so much more sophisticated and holy, but rather because there will be an evolutionary process whereby the animals will become intelligent beings as well. And at that point, it's simply inappropriate to kill animals. He believes that when the verses when the verses speak about the knowledge of God spills over the entire world, that knowledge of God doesn't only affect humanity, it also affects the entire creation, which includes the animals, and therefore Rav Kook believes that, okay, the verse that says the lamb will lie with the lion and so on, which the Rambam tells us means on a political basis, the Jews will live in peace with all of the nations of the world that throughout the Middle Ages could have been described as animals and which were hunting us down, will be able to live in peace with them. Rav Kook takes this not in the symbolic level, he takes this in a literal level and says the lamb will lie with the lion. Why? Because it will no longer follow instinct and want to eat the lamb, and rather it will have developed and develop into some kind of other being. He says in that day and age, what kind of korban will be brought? He said, then we'll only bring a korban mincha. We'll only bring grain. So what he doesn't say, just to finish that thought, we'll bring them the korban mincha, just like the very first offering which was ever given was the korban mincha. That korban mincha was inappropriate. So I can go two directions. Was it inappropriate because it was the wrong substance? Or was it inappropriate because it was not the choicest of that particular species? So you could, when you compare or contrast with Hevel, you can go either way. Hevel brings an animal and the choicest animal. So which is it? Is it the combinations of both? I could argue that the main thing which is missing is not that he brings the wrong, again, thing. The korban mincha is absolutely acceptable, absolutely fine. And maybe the biggest proof of this is that even the animal is described unusually as the mincha in this particular case, as if the text says the problem is not that it's the mincha. It's not that God needs the dead animal and so on. What is really the problem over here? The problem is that he brought, it's the choice is missing. And that's what led Chazal to point towards the pishtan and something which was lowly and something which really didn't have value. And it was really a very interesting religious gesture on Kayin's part. On the one hand, he's the first one who realizes I really should offer something to God. And we have every reason in the world to look up to him for that. On the other hand, he does it in such a backhanded, inferior way that God says to him, no, this is not what service of God is. Service of God needs to have within it some kind of level of the sacrificial. There has to be something with a value which I'm given. And it's not a question of just going through the gesture, going through the motion, which means the great irony is that Kayin is a religious revolutionary who comes to this understanding that I should be offered to God, but he does it in a very inappropriate and inferior way. On the other hand, Hevel, who's very sensitive and notices what he does, realizes that Kayin's onto something, and therefore he wants to imitate him, and maybe he's jealous of him, and he imitates, and he goes, and he does it in a far better way, and absolutely shows him up, and his is accepted, which we see makes Kayin absolutely infuriates him. For his part, the Kli Yakar was fascinating here when he says they go back out to the field, and he says specifically the field, while people aren't around, he goes, you're worthless because you can't think of anything by yourself. Of course, focuses on his own greatness and not his own failings. His own greatness is that he did think of this of something by himself. He is creative. His failing is he didn't do it with full heart. Hevel serves God with full heart, but he imitates. So therefore, to see this as the background of the narrative which was missing, of why he killed him, what he said to him, that he said to him, the world doesn't need somebody who's just a mimic. The world doesn't need somebody who's just doing something that other people are already doing, and therefore the world's not going to be lacking anything with your not being here. Ultimately, we don't agree, and there could be very many, many people who mimic other people who do a lot of good in the world. If you mimic somebody doing good, you can do a lot of good in the world, and the world is a place which maybe needs a lot more people mimicking people that are good. So ultimately, God does not necessarily agree with Cain's read on the situation that the only thing which is of value is when you're creative. It could be it's true in a dissertation. So maybe over here we have Cain as the world's first academic, and therefore he slaughters somebody who has no creativity in his dissertation, and therefore the world doesn't need him at all. But the real world is not academia. Shabbat shalom.